Hi everybody, my name is Stevie B and I'm a grateful alcoholic.
Stevie.
And I'm a member of the West Side Men's Group.
Nice.
It's good to be here with you guys tonight. And I'm filling in for Russell. So if you came here tonight, I'm not Russell. And he is on a trip in Los Angeles. He's having a great time with his family and he will be back here next week. So have no fear. It's going to be a great time. And I'm not really sure exactly what Russell's going to do when he get back. He might backtrack back to step three. I doubt he's going to actually ask me what I did. Or even value it. So whatever. He's going to actually do his own deal. And I was going to ask him this week what I should do. Because he had text messaged me and said, thank you. I heard that the talk went great. And I got a compliment from Russell, Steve. It was really amazing. But then the next line was, and then I need you to take next week. I knew there was something. There had to be something in there for the text message. And so since Russell is my sponsor, I said, absolutely. And I appreciate the Fort Lauderdale 12-step group for allowing me to come and fill in for Russell while he's away. Last week we were talking about the third step, which happens to be my favorite step, 3 and 11. Changed my life. And there's a lot of power in the third step. I mean, it's definitely the most excitable step for me. It definitely brings a smile to my face when I think about the way that I was and the way that I am today. To think that I surrendered to God, that I didn't even believe in God at the time that I surrendered, and He took my life and transformed it. It's very exciting for me. And then there's the fourth step. Different than the third step. It's a proof that you've actually taken a step towards your relationship with God. It's proof. It's actually something you can test yourself on. Because if you're not willing to do the fourth step, if you're not willing to move on in the steps, then you haven't actually taken the third step. Which is good for you, because if you're doing an MRI of your own program, if you're doing an MRI of your own relationship with the 12 steps, and you don't want to move on, at least you know right there at that moment that you haven't taken a thorough third step. As a matter of fact, there's so many different ways you can test a third step in your life, on taking direction from a sponsor, on whether you turn your cell phone off in a meeting. Obviously. That doesn't mean you, Ed. I'm talking about regular people. I'm not gonna mean that. And Todd, you can keep yours on because you're here and the game is on at the same time. Do you realize that Todd M. from the West Side Men's Group is actually here while there's a professional sports game on? That is truly a miracle. That is truly a miracle. That is the first and only time you'll see him when the Yankees are playing. So last week we spoke about humbling, offering ourselves to God on page 12 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous that we don't talk about enough. We read how it works, which gives us the directions for the program. But for me, the whole program can be summed up, at least the beginning parts, in page 12 and 13 of the Big Book. On page 13 it says, therefore I humbly offered myself to God, as I then understood Him, to do with me as He would. I placed myself, now this is Bill W. writing, with under 4 years of sobriety, remembering how it was when he came in 4 years before. Before I get to that, I want to tell you that I started, and there's some people that used to come there, Laura and her husband Vince and Alex. I started a big book study in the back room here when I was 3 years sober. I didn't ask anybody's opinion. There was a meeting that I was going to that I didn't like. I didn't feel that they were, let me just say I didn't like it. And there was so much going on in that meeting that I knew I couldn't change that meeting. So I picked up my big book, went over to the front counter, and said to Mike, can we start a big book meeting called the Higher Power Big Book Study? And that's it, 3 years of sobriety. Because it doesn't take 20 years, 30 years, 40 years to realize you want to just totally surrender to God. You can do it right tonight, today. Now, does it help to have a length of time between your last drink or drug? Absolutely. Is it a prerequisite to turn your life over to God? Absolutely not. In the beginning of Alcoholics Anonymous, when people were coming into the house to Dr. Bob's house, and they were saying that they wanted to spend the night and they wanted to get sober and they wanted to live in the house, they said, that's fine, but we're going to ask you to take the first three steps today. And they brought them upstairs, those rickety steps. I'm sure you guys have been there. I know Laura has. And they asked him to get down on his knees right there. You want to stay at the house? Let's get down on the knees. We're going to ask you to, do you think that you can help yourself? Do you think you're powerless? We do. Do you think that a power greater than yourself can help you? We do. Are you ready to turn your life over today to that power? I am. Okay, you can stay. And they did the first three steps right there. So when we're reading this and we're thinking about how amazing Bill W. is and how intelligent he is and how many years of experience he had, he did not. He had many years of experience in drinking, and he had very few years of experience in surrender. But let me tell you something. If I can weigh all my years of drinking and drugging and all my years of surrender, my years of surrender weigh a lot more. Before I get into this, I want to tell you something. That I was in a physical today. I went to a doctor's appointment. And I haven't been to a physical in years. And the doctor said to me, do you drink? And I said, no. Yeah, there's always one that I know I'm going to get right. That one right there, do you drink? I said, no. He said, do you smoke? And I said, no. Two right there, boom, boom. I was feeling good about myself, kind of looking cocky. And he said, did you ever do drugs? Or do you currently do drugs? I said, I don't currently do drugs, but I used to use a lot of drugs. And the doctor, you know, looked up, because at that point I was looking, you know, pretty clean cut. And then he said, well, what are you, he laughed, and he's like, what type of drugs did you do? I said, there's only one that I didn't do, doctor. Now, I say that because, and he said, how many years ago was that? And I said, that was 9 years ago. But let me tell you, when I said it was 9 years ago, it wasn't like when I'm in Alcoholics Anonymous and I feel so proud that I'm coming up on 9 years. It was embarrassing to me. Now, I'm not saying that it would be embarrassing in here. I feel good about that. I'm proud. But it was embarrassing to me that only 9 years ago that I chose crack and alcohol over the program. That I was already sober 7 years when I decided to go drink again. And when it's confronted like that to me, that it was only a little short time ago that I was on the streets panhandling on Federal Highway, it's very hard to get an ego because you're speaking in front of the room. All I have when I come to do something like that is pure humility. That he sought fit to take me from the guy at the gas station that was pretending that my gas tank was out to the guy that's here talking about his steps. And I told the doctor, I said, listen, doctor, that was the man that I was, but that's not the man I am today. I'm in a program. I've been sober this amount of years. And by the grace of God, and one day at a time, I hope never to have to live like that again. And then I realized, as there was different instruments on the counter, and I had never seen those instruments before, and he said to me, get fully undressed. I said, no, I'm just here for a physical. Tony, you probably can relate to this. He said, welcome to your 40s. So I was totally powerless. Got through it, though. Therefore, I humbled myself to God as I then understood him. See, when Bill W. was talking about when he understood him, and then people look at the third step and they say, as we understood him, don't they mean that Bill W. was talking about that maybe he wasn't talking about God, maybe he was talking about the creative universe, maybe he was talking about nature, maybe he was talking about the Dharanam? No, he wasn't. When they say, as we understood him, it was so that we didn't argue on who him was, but they definitely agreed on that there was a him. Don't make any mistake about it. The original people that wrote this big book, the founding fathers of Alcoholics Anonymous, believed in God, the creator, the spirit of the universe, the sunlight of spirit. There's nothing ambiguous about that. Now, did they agree that it was a Presbyterian God or a Jewish God? No, they didn't agree on that. And that's why they said, as we understand him. But they definitely want you to hook onto the power of that. So as Bill W. is looking back in that statement, he says, as I understood him, He's talking about when he came in. He felt that power. You know the story of Bill W. Maybe some of you guys saw that on the My Name is Bill W. story, when a white light came over him and the room changes, and he writes about it in his story. He's talking about the power of God. He says, this is the God of the forefathers that they're talking about, the gods of religion. He's not talking to some inky-dinky, warm, fuzzy, maybe someday I'm going to feel it. He's talking about instantaneous change. And I want to tell you, if there's anybody new here, and I know that there is, and my friend Brian that I sobered up with, who's new back, and I know there's a lot of new people in here, actually. You don't have to wait to your third year, your second year, your ninth month, to make a decision tonight that you're going to submit yourself to the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, a loving sponsor, hopefully not too soft, and a power of God. I believe in a strong sponsor. Now, my taste of sponsor has changed over the years. I needed an abusive sponsor when I came in, and I'd like to be abused a little less today. Although my sponsors didn't get the memo, but I'd like to be abused a little less. But I still need to have a sponsor in my life. No, I'm working out now, which is new for me. And my wife has me running. We're running at 6:30 in the morning. It's unbelievable, really. Now this morning I have my doctor's appointment at 9. They asked me to be there at 8:30, and I thought that would give me the day off. My wife said, no, we'll wake up an hour earlier. And we're running to the beach, and she's just in amazing shape. And she's running. And I'm, you know, I want to run. I mean, I see myself like a gazelle instead of like a 400-pound elephant. But, so she's running, and then she does one of these things where she turns around, and she's like, and I ran to her. And then I would start walking again, and she would run back, and she's like, come on, you can do it. We need that in the program. We need that. If you don't have someone doing that in your life and you're running your own show, get that person. Submit yourself to a life manager. You know why they don't mention that in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous? Because back then everybody went to either priests, rabbis, ministers. But today we don't do that. A lot of us don't do that. We need a sponsor. We need someone that teaches the Big Book. There's no reason for you to have to make the path new on your own. The path is already set. I was telling my wife about records last week, and I was explaining to her that the Jenny, there was these things called records, and they were made out of vinyl, and they have grooves in them. And when the needle of the record player would hit the grooves, it would play the music. But if it didn't, then it wouldn't play the music the right way. The program of Alcoholics Anonymous already has the grooves already set out, works perfectly, the music plays wonderfully. All you have to do is align your needle inside one of those grooves. And then get yourself a groove manager. Someone's going to help you keep on your groove. Keep your groove on, Scott. That's right, keep your groove on. There's sometimes I come up with these ideas on how I don't need to go to meetings. Now, I don't mean permanently, because my disease doesn't work like that. I don't mean permanently. I mean, my disease tells me this week I'm going to miss the meetings. So about a month ago, I went up to Tony Otero, my mentor, who's back there, and I said, Tony, I'm thinking about maybe missing the home group for a couple weeks. I know you guys didn't know that. The home group was a Thursday, and I met with Tony on a Friday. I don't know, you guys said something I didn't like or something. I had full-blown alcoholism that morning. I'm like, I don't like the way they're conducting the West Side Men's Group. I'm not going to go for a couple weeks. And I went and I spoke to Tony about it at breakfast, and Tony said, no, that's not an option. You go. That's your home group. That's what we do. See, for me, I was just thinking I was going to miss a week. Then I was going to try other meetings that people didn't know me in. I was actually going to go off my meeting schedule that's worked so perfectly for me. You see, a meeting schedule for me is like paramount to my morning prayers. It's right up there when I say paramount. It's right up there with my morning prayers, my daily devotions, my calls to other alcoholics, and a meeting schedule, which means not just going to meetings every day. It means you know that on a Monday night, I'm at this place. On a Tuesday night, I'm at this place. On a Wednesday night, I'm at this place. On Thursday night, I'm at the Westside Men's Group. And I said to Tony, I'm thinking about changing that. And he said, then you need to change your home group. I said, no, I'm not thinking about changing my home group. I just don't want to go for a couple weeks. You see, he was my life manager at that moment. I needed to hear from somebody other than me because sometimes I think my ideas are brilliant. Brilliant. And I just can't understand why you guys aren't following directions. If you're the only one that's speaking into your life, you might not have alcoholism. I have alcoholism. And for the people that are in Narcotics Anonymous that I see here, when I say alcoholism, I'm talking about the disease that centers in our mind. It has nothing to do with which program you're in. My disease that when I was 12 years old told me I wasn't good enough and that a drink and a drug would help me to feel better. My disease that said when everything was going on in the party and everyone was having a good time and they were dancing and everything was good, that I wanted to be at another party. The same disease that told me that I was different than you guys, that's a disease of alcoholism that I'm talking about. The same disease that on Sunday nights till this day, Sunday nights, continue to be a night of serious depression wants to enter into my brain. Now, I don't have depression, but I have something that tries to make itself be depression. It tells me it's depression. It knocks on my mind every Sunday night. I guess it was the dread of going back to school the next day. Now, I'm not in school, nor was I have I been in school in half a decade. I mean, in decades. But for some reason, on Sunday night, there's something that knocks on my mind and says to me, you know, you're about to get into depression. I'm like, you know what I tell it? I said, thanks for sharing. I'm not getting into depression. I don't want to have anything to do with depression. I already did depression. It didn't work very good for me. So when it tells me you're about to be depressed, I said, no, I'm not about to be depressed. Thank you. And I feel those feelings coming on. And then what? You know what I do? I realize I have alcoholism. I don't have depression. I don't have medical depression. Alan, you guys don't have to treat me. I don't need medication. I need a meeting. And you know what? Even sometimes I don't even need a meeting. I just need to make a call to another alcoholic who also might have alcoholism. And you know what also happens when I make a call to another alcoholic? Usually we're not sick on the same day. And if you have those guys in your life like Don, you know, he'll abuse you right out of it. What do you mean you got depression? It is, when you're done with that call, you're not depressed anymore. He lets you know in 2 seconds, you don't got depression. You got self-centeredness. You got ego. Every time I speak to someone that's got a strong program, I leave that phone. I don't have depression. I might have resentment, but I never have depression. So back to page 13. I admitted for the first time that of myself, I was nothing. That out without him, I was lost. I ruthlessly faced my sins and became willing to have the Almighty Creator remove them from me, root and branch. Wow. Man, they don't talk about that in the meetings. That would be about God. What do you mean my sins removed from me, root and branch? They got to be talking about God on that. That doesn't sound like higher power stuff. That sounds like God stuff. Yeah. Higher power is only mentioned 5 times in the first 164 pages. But God's mentioned over 400 times. Yeah, they meant God. And so the reason I say it like that, as a matter of fact, is because my first 6 years, the first time around, is I had a higher power. I had a strong higher power. It was me, my group of drunks, sprinkling of God. It was I prayed to God in the morning and I prayed to God at night because I was told that. And then I did everything that I wanted to do between the hours of in the morning prayer and the nighttime prayer. I had that strong higher power. Me, God, you, girls, a lot of girls, a mixture of different things. That was my higher power. You see, when a push comes to shove, and that's your higher power, and you're laying awake at 2:30 at night, and you want to blow off your head, and your mind is racing because you have alcoholism, and you already know that you have 6 years of sobriety, and you're running around in your head like a Tasmanian devil, and you're thinking about ways that you can do this and that, and being, and what did they say, and all those kind of things. The moment I took a pill for my broken toe, it was like, wow. Wow. Man, I needed that pill. I had serious, untreated alcoholism. And as you guys know, if you were here last week, you know that I thought I had discovered the Holy Grail, taking pills and going to meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous. And if it turns out, you're not supposed to do that. So then I come here on my belly. I come here begging the guy around the corner at Liberty House. I go to Liberty House, and the halfway house manager is one of the guys that I used to sponsor, or was going to sponsor, one of those things. And he goes to me, "Stevie B, it's good to see you. What are you doing here, to speak?" I go, "No. I'm here to live here. I'm the new guy." He goes, "Are you just coming back?" I go, "Yeah." And then he looked at me with a new pair of glasses, you know, the one that gets refocused. Because at first maybe he thought I was in my work clothes. You know, maybe he thought I just got off the job tarring roofs. He thought, "Oh, probably Stevie was tarring roofs. Good old Steve. He's always doing service, probably doing it for free." And then his eyes focused, and then he realized I was, like, homeless. And then he said to me, "Would you like to have a sandwich?" Around the corner from my home group, the 11-step group, I'm going into a halfway house, and the halfway house manager that I used to sponsor or was going to sponsor says to me, "Would you like a sandwich?" Now, if you think that I'm not going to be in meetings excited and joyous and off the charts, happy to go to my next meeting and don't care what's on TV or what's going on in the world because of from where I've came, listen, the big book says it. I just want to tell the whole world about what the Lord has done in my life. The whole world. That's right, Henrietta. And I do that. I tell everybody about it because if you think about where he took us from to where we are today, it's a miracle. You know, I know people in here and I know a little bit about their stories that went from nothing, that families of six on the beach to super successful business people in here because of sobriety. Trust in God with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding and see what he'll do in your life. Or continue to run the show as well as you've been running it and see how that works. It didn't work good for me. I wound up in paper slippers 5 times in 1 year. For you guys don't know that you hide bottom people, paper slippers is when you're institutionalized. That's what they give you for your footwear. If you want to call it that, footwear. It doesn't. You can't even get across the... Oh. Wait, take it easy. Take it easy. On cue. Just to show you the support of the West Side Men's Group, there's over 50 guys from the West Side Men's Group here tonight. And one of the guys that just came in, you know, the guy that was very big in my early sobriety spike, you guys all know him. And he just came in from a softball game for his company all the way across town. The moment it finished, he zoomed over here. Because that's the way we do it. We fit our meetings around our life. At least that's the way I do it. I fit meetings around my life, not my life around my meetings. Did I say that right, Tony? You know what I meant. And then people will meet me and they'll say, "Why is it always you got to meet before or after the meeting? I want to spend time with you." Well, that happens before and after the meeting because that's my life. And then the rest of the part of my life is Bible studies and my wife and business. I don't know if I'm going to get to the 4-step tonight. Anyway, Russell's going to come back next week and he's going to do the 4-step. Or probably not. But anyway, you'll hear about the 4-step. I want to tell you something that somebody told me early on. He said, "Steve, if you give 16 hours of your life to the program, If you give 16 hours of your life, I want you guys to hear this. Please pay attention to this one thing. Every week, if you dedicate 16 hours of your life to the program of Alcoholics Anonymous and other programs like that, that you'll have a life beyond your wildest dreams, and you'll be able to spend the other 124 hours doing anything you want. Now, when he asked me that, would you give 16 hours of your life to have the most unbelievable life, never think about smoking crack, never think about drinking, go to bed at the same time as your wife, wake up at the same time in the morning as your wife, know that where you're going, you know where she trusts you, where you're going, you'll have a bank account, you'll have money, cards, you'll have all that kind of stuff. Would you do that for 16 hours a week? I was, are you kidding me? And when I tell people that I go to 7 meetings a week and it consists of 16 hours, they look at me like I'm from another planet. I'm not talking about people, earth people, I'm talking about people in the program. They look at me like I'm on another planet. Are you crazy, they say? Don't you have a life? No, because of this, I have a life. Because I do a meeting on Monday and a meeting on Tuesday, a Bible study at 7 o'clock in the morning on Tuesdays, when I can get there, Doug, take it easy. A meeting at Bark when Laura and Doug aren't taking it. We have a meeting at Bark. Tuesday night now here that Russell's doing it and then Paul Lee's doing it, so I'm now committed for another year. Wednesday night we have our Bible study. Thursday night we have our men's group. Friday I have off. It's date night. Which I'm speaking at a bunch of different places the next couple weeks, so it's, we'll have our date at the places. Saturday morning we have a meeting called It's All About God. Saturday night we have our meeting, our family afterward meeting that's about wives and families and brothers and sisters and husbands and wives. And then Sunday morning, of course, is church. And then Sunday night I'm with my grandfather, my 90-year-old grandfather. And I don't take a phone call during that time. It's not that I have a choice. He'll take the phone and he'll destroy it in front of me. So I like to say that I'm being selfless, but he's a Sicilian from, and he'll take a knife to my neck. So I don't have a choice but that. Anyway, that's a meeting schedule, and it changed my life. It's 16 hours. And it starts off every day on my knees saying, God, I don't want to take this. You need to take this from me. And I make that third step and I take that prayer on page 63 and it says, God, I offer myself to you to build with me and do with me as you will. Relieve me of the bondage of self so that I can better do your will. Take away my difficulties. And I ask him to take away my difficulties, not so that my life is difficult free, so that I'm not a thumb-sucking baby crybaby in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, always talking about my problems. God, give me problems. Because when I overcome them through you, I want to tell everybody about it. Don't give me that many problems, but give me some. Because problems develop perseverance. And perseverance, you're going to need to make it to the end of this race. You know, one of my friends inside this room, his wife died that day he was at a meeting, or the next day. I said, man, I hope he gets back to meetings. The next day he was at a meeting. God will give us exactly what we need if we're ready to run this race with him. God, take away my difficulties so that victory over them can show other people your power in my life. If you don't know the third step prayer, go and read it. Get it. Write it down on a thing. Doesn't matter what program you're in. The third step prayer is an amazing miracle prayer. When your wife is in the hospital and she's getting 50 million blood tests and they can't figure out what it is. Third step prayer. Because the men and women that I really, really, really look up to are not the ones that miss meetings when they are in trials and tribulations. They're the ones that come in meetings and say, this is what's going on in my life. And then there's the rest of the people. They're the whiners that whine about their car and their job. And in the meetings, you'll have both. And you'll notice the ones that are always whining about their car or their job and their relationship, I don't know about you, and I know I'm not supposed to judge, and everything, every book that I read, but I'm like, oh, no, the car and the job and the broad joke again. Oh, man. I want to hear about the solution. I want to hear about people go through neck surgery and still go to meetings without painkillers. I want to hear about the people that have sons in jail and still go to the meetings, tell everybody about it. Their sons come out and they're taking meetings into other places and giving back to the jails because they were in jail. That's the program that I'm in, guys. I want to tell you, it's not boring. It's so exciting. It's unbelievable. I said I'm speaking on date night in a couple weeks from now. I speak in so many different places and has nothing to do with my power. My message is not so great. I'm not big book. I mean, there's people in here that are, you know, Big Book George in here. That's serious knowledge and puts it all away that you can get and you take it home and you understand the steps. That's not me. All I am is excited because the way I was and the way that I am today. God took me from a selfish, perverted, nasty, mean, terribly mean, like a bulldog on stir, you know, like a terribly mean. And then he softened me up. And people say stuff to me today, and I'm like, you know what? Guy comes into my store, my second year of sobriety. He comes over to the store, and I go out to do this fifth step with my sponsor, and I see, we're talking about the fourth step tonight, I see that he's like, listen, you got to do the fourth step. Like I said, Russell's going to come back next week and tell you this, but I want to tell you something about the fourth step. If you haven't done it, stop making it like it's the most, it's so hard you can't do it. And all those people that are in the meetings and they're like, and when you tell them you're working on the fourth step and they go like this, ooh, the fourth step. Now that's just like a rite of passage, you know what I mean? Don't believe them. You know, every major religion in the world has something called disclosure or confession, or even the Scientologists have this thing where you push your two hands and you're supposed to tell the stuff that's on your chest. And you have to pay money for it, but I mean, it's a religion. And that's what this is. The fourth step is about writing it down on a paper and giving it away so that you don't have to walk around all burdened. We were away in New York a couple weeks ago, and we came back, and all our grass in the backyard was destroyed. They were spraying some chemicals in the lake behind my house, and those chemicals destroy weeds, like, boom, gone. But that also destroys the grass. And the guy must have been, like, talking on the cell phone or looking, and he went like, and he sprayed the entire grass in my backyard. We come back, and there's, like, a big S in the backyard, and half the, everything's gone. Now, I immediately want to call somebody to put some sod down. Sod is the already made grass. I want some sod down on that nasty stuff. But because I'm trying to, you know, I'm getting ready to be a dad. It hasn't happened yet, but I'm believing in the promises of God. I want to start doing stuff on my own. So I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to just go out and call somebody to put down some sod. I'm going to put down my own seed. Apparently some of you people have done that thing. So I go out and I buy bags of seed. And I buy fertilizer. And I come and I get the gloves. And I'm back there and I'm throwing the seed down and I'm throwing the fertilizer down. And I'm did the whole backyard. And my wife says to me, maybe I should take the dead grass up first. Now I'm talking about dead, you know, to the core dead grass. Beyond yellow. And she says to me, maybe you should take up the dead grass first. And I said, no, sweet, I got bags of stuff. I mean, I got the best Home Depot fertilizer the money could buy. $45 a bag on this stuff. It's like gold. It's got gold label on it. It's like this stuff can go through anything. And I'm out there. I don't know if you guys have been watering your lawn, but water is so expensive right now. And I'm watering the lawn every day, and I'm out there, and I got the seed down, and I'm watering it. And I'm watering it, and that dead grass on top of it just becoming soggy mess. And nothing's coming up. And I'm thinking to myself, this is terrible. 2 weeks, not a green sprout, nothing. This week I go out there with a rake, and I remove all the dead grass. Bags of it. I mean, garbage bags full of dead grass. And I throw some seed out this week. 2 days later, beautiful green coming up. You see, you can do all the steps you want, go to all the meetings you want, talk about God all you want, but if your life is full of dead grass, there's nothing sprouting. And what the fifth step does is clear away that grass. You share it with another person. You give it to God. And he comes in as the almighty fertilizer remover. And you go, bing! And you sprout green grass. And all of a sudden, your nasty, foul, depraved attitude, it changes. Tonight outside the 12-step house, someone called me the church man. What did he call me, Larry?
Churchman.
Churchman's speaking tonight. He said, churchman's here. Called me the church man. You know what they used to call me, Scott? They didn't call me church man. I've been in the swap shop. I work in the swap shop. I've been there 17 years. The first 7 years I was sober while I worked there, I had over 12 fist fights in the swap shop. Police called, taken out of there. And I'm talking about at my work. This is not like at the OK Corral. I'm talking about at my work. I'm talking about sober. Coming out there in handcuffs, being arrested, calling my family from jail. Sober. I'm in jail. I was at work. Now I'm in jail. Ralph, you know, you've been at the store when that stuff happened to me. I give my life to God. I take the third step. I do the fourth step. I share it with my sponsor. God comes in and changes my life. And 2 years later, I'm a year and a half later, Ricky D and a bunch of the guys from the bikers meeting are at my counter. And this guy comes over and we're arguing over the price of a picture or something. I'm like, it's $5.95. He's like, it's $2.95. Bing! He pops me in my mouth. In my mouth. Not me. He pops me in my mouth. I'm bleeding on the counter. I look over at my wife. I feel the presence of God in my life. And I go and I pick up the phone and I call the police. Now, how is it that three members of Alcoholics Anonymous were there at that time? Maybe I needed a witness. Maybe the story would sound so bizarre that I needed a witness. I haven't picked up my hands in 8.5 years. That only happens with a surrender to God. That he comes in, removes the sin's root and branches from the core. Root and branches. That's from... That's not like I'm trying to behave myself. Let me tell you something. When that other guy comes out, there's no trying to behave myself. You punch me in the mouth, there's no trying to behave myself. It's on. I had already done my prayers that day. I already asked God to come into my life. I already said to him, take my day. He took my day. I didn't have any right to lift my hands that day. And I still don't have my right to lift my hands today. Last thing I'm going to say. Don't wait on your program. Have tonight be the first day of the rest of your program. I don't care if you're 4 years sober, 14 years sober, or 40 years sober. Tonight's the night to go home, get on your knees, and say, you know what, God? I've been running this thing. I've been running this. I'm going to give this to you. Steve says, and other people say, that if I give this to you, my life is going to change from the inside out, and I'm not just talking about sobriety. I'm talking about everything else. I'm going to give this to you, and try them. Give them your life. See what happens. If you're not walking around, beep, beep, you don't give, take it back. But if you're walking around like that, why would you ever want to take it back? Thanks so much, guys.
How it works. John for doing the chips, Christine for the dishes, everybody that helped out.
No,
I
didn't have
especially
with my first, that was in my first trip, you guys. Thank you. That was in my first 3 months. We're almost done.
And we have a nice way to close.
Yeah, that's right.
We're almost done, baby.